also, you know, we've been eating like crazy over the holiday time. And, you know, you just feel like you want to start fresh for the new year. You know, get on the right track, lose some weight, you know, be healthier. Ran across a great article on one of my favorite websites, Epicurious.com. Detox recipes that actually taste good. David Tamarkin is one of the editors at Epicurious.com. And David, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. Well, when I hear the word detox, I recoil a little bit because that doesn't sound very tasty right there.
I know. It sounds like you're about to, like, drink blended grass or something.
Yeah,
like
castor oil or something. Right, exactly right.
Yeah.
But these recipes look absolutely delicious.
Yeah, thanks. We tried hard to, you know, gather all the, you know, the best detox recipes we could because, to your point, nobody really wants their food to taste healthy, right? Like, we want it to taste good and be healthy. So we think these recipes fit that bill.
Yeah, so let me go down some of the recipes, and you can explain, you know, how they're detoxy, how they're cleansing, how they, you know, get you off on the right foot for the new year. The first one is a slow-roasted salmon with fennel, citrus, and chilies. Now, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, I know. This is one of my favorite ways to cook salmon, is to cook it in a slow and low. Although it's not that slow. It's just slower than cooking it in a higher temp oven. And what that does is it creates a salmon that is really, really sort of almost juicy. We don't really think of that word with salmon very much, but this salmon just sort of is really luscious. And it also doesn't make your kitchen smell like fish, which is sort of a side benefit. Anyway, here you're getting tons of citrus, so everybody knows that citrus is good for you because of all the vitamin C in that, and especially in cold weather like this, you won't have to get a cold. So that's one thing that's happening here. And also chilies are very good for you. They have all these elements that they can open up your sinuses, and they have anti-inflammatory properties as well. And I have a feeling as we have this conversation, Dean, you're going to hear me say that word anti-inflammatory a lot, because that's really a lot of the times the benefit of a lot of these recipes.
Well, that's, you know, that's an important you know, feature of a lot of these things, and kind of the rejuvenating or cleansing process of the whole thing. So when you're talking about doing the salmon low and slow, how low, how slow?
Well, so, you know, you have so many options. This recipe in particular, you're putting your oven to 275, which is pretty low.
Right.
Now, in terms of slow, it's not that slow. It's going to take 30 to 40 minutes. You could do this. Something I like to do, so this recipe also, to note, it makes a pretty good amount of salmon. This will serve six people. But if you're just serving, you know, one or two people, I like to take just a regular fillet of salmon and use my toaster oven. Because, you know, set that to 275, put just one fillet in there or two fillets in there. And you can do the same thing, just lay some citrus spices on top of it, some chilies on it, and that will only take, like, you know, 15 minutes before it's ready. So it's not that slow. It's just, I guess it's just low. It's low and low.
Well, I mean, it's slower than if you were to broil it and it'd be done in, you know, like 6 minutes, or to saute it and it'd be done in 4 minutes. So it is longer than that, but, you know, the benefits of having a nice, moist piece of salmon, you know, and a very tasty piece. The fennel, the citrus that you're using here is an orange. You say a blood or navel orange, a lemon, the peppers, et cetera. All of this goes in a baking dish, and you're baking all of it, right?
Yeah, you just sort of, you're just baking it in the oven like that. And, of course, you could use grapefruit if you wanted to. You could use a regular orange if you don't, you can't find blood oranges. I probably wouldn't do lime here, but, you know, you can mix it up.
Okay, that sounds great. We'll tell you where you can get all these recipes, by the way, on, Epicurious.com is where you find it all. Asian chicken and cabbage salad. I'm seeing cabbage in a lot of these Eat Fresh for the New Year, you know, kind of recipes that are coming out.
Yeah. I mean, cabbage is a very unsexy ingredient, but it's one of my favorite things to eat. One thing I really love about cabbage is that it just lasts forever in your fridge. It's just such a hearty vegetable. It's not like buying, you know, a bunch of spinach or a bunch of, you know, baby arugula, where, you know, you have to eat it within 2 days or sort of wilt. So that hardness sort of translates. It's part of the reason why it's good for you. It's, you know, it's just, it's got a lot of fiber. So cabbage is, you know, really good for digestion, and it has all sorts of other benefits. And this, you know, I personally would just kind of slice cabbage thinly and saute it, maybe even braise it with a little bacon and some balsamic vinegar, maybe put some apples in there. I'm talking about red cabbage right now. But this, you know, doing it with chicken is obviously makes it more of a full meal, because a lot of people don't. I tend to eat like a rabbit sometimes, so I can just eat a bowl of cabbage, but I know some people like, more people want chicken.
Right. You would be a cult of one with that, David.
Right.
I mean, it depends.
Well,
on
maybe that. One of the four people listening right now also.
Right. Right. For the other three people in the world who also would do that, you can. But so you're taking this cabbage and slicing it basically like coleslaw, pretty much, right?
Yeah.
And right, and then the chicken, 3 cups of chicken shredded, and then so are you just sautéing all this up together?
Yeah, and you know what's great about this recipe is that it's, you know, that's really good for you to, you know, just for dinner, but this is also a really great recipe to take for lunch the next day. This is gonna this is gonna last in the fridge for a few days. So I think that part of the detoxing, you know, we're talking about detoxing. And we're talking about, you know, recipes that are good for you. But the other part of detoxing, I think, especially post-holidays, is just cooking more and bringing your lunch to work and not relying on, like, for example, where I work, there's a cafeteria. And no disrespect to the cafeteria at work, but they're, you know, they're flipping burgers and they're, like, making, you know, like, chicken nuggets and, you know, quesadillas and stuff like that. It's not necessarily detoxing food, right? So as long as you're cooking and you're bringing the stuff into work, and maybe you're even bringing your breakfast too, you're going to eat healthier just automatically. It doesn't even really matter what you cook. Anything you cook is going to be healthier and give you some detox effect.
More than processed. Yeah, I mean, even I had this conversation with my mom the other day about, you know, a turkey sandwich, you know, the processed turkey lunch meat that you buy. You know, and I explained that that's loaded with sodium, all of those things. Even if it says turkey, which is a buzzword, you know, that you think healthy if it says turkey somehow, is loaded with sodium. You know, why don't you just make yourself a nice turkey breast, a fresh one, and slice it? And it's 100 times more healthy for you.
And what's interesting about that, Dean, is that, you know, sounds like you're a cook, so, you know, I'm obviously a big cook, and sometimes milk, really practiced home cooks, they know that you need to use salt. You know, you can't skimp on the salt when you're, like, seasoning your food. Salt is what makes everything taste better. So I'll have people over to my kitchen, and they'll say, hey, why are you putting so much salt? You'll end up saying, salt's bad for you. When we talk about salt being bad for you and you know, watching out about sodium, it's not about how much table salt you put on your food if you're cooking at home. It's about things that you just mentioned, like turkey, these things that are preserved and meant to last for months and months on a grocery shelf. That's where you have to watch out for the salt.
Yeah.
I think it's very unlikely. Of course, I'm not a doctor, but I think it's very unlikely that you will salt. If you're cooking at home and you're salting your food, that you would use so much salt that it would become unhealthy.
No, it's the hidden salt, and often hidden in sweet things that you'd never expected. You got to read the labels when it comes to stuff like that.
Yeah.
So there's more to this Asian chicken and cabbage salad than just chicken and cabbage. There's ginger and sauces and all kinds of things. The recipe is at epicurious.com. So I just want to go over a couple before we run out of time. Like this citrus salad with tarragon syrup. This tarragon syrup caught my eye. What an interesting idea for a nice topping for some fresh fruit.
I love tarragon and I love that flavor. It's a very divisive flavor, though. Are you into like that black?
Totally into tarragon. I think it's great.
Yeah. This goes back to the citrus thing. Like citrus has all those vitamins and, you know, really delicious acids. And the other thing about the great thing about citrus right now, and this time when we're trying to eat more detox-ish foods, is that we want fresh foods and we want things that are in season. You know, a lot of the times, a lot of the produce right now is not in season. It's being shipped in from warmer places, and it's not going to be as beneficial in terms of nutrition because it's being grown in hothouses and stuff. But citrus obviously is in season if you're getting, you know, and so that's automatically going to be better for you than, you know, eating something that's not in season. So season, right, you know, citrus right now is a big thing.
Yeah, so a variety of, you know, different citruses with an interesting dressing like this. The tarragon syrup sounds great. And talking about, you know, talking about hidden sodiums and things like that, you've got a recipe here of winter lettuces with pomegranate seeds. But what I found most interesting was a homemade shallot vinaigrette dressing that you make, because bottled salad dressings are loaded with sodiums again. And you could really, you could cleanse yourself so much by eliminating, you know, some of these hidden sodiums, and very easily making your own shallot vinaigrette. What's the process of that with this dressing?
Well, any vinaigrette is a combination of some sort of oil and then some sort of acid. If you're going to make a shallot vinaigrette, then you're going to start, that's sort of just like a flavoring of the vinaigrette. So you're just going to chop up your shallot pretty finely. What I would do is I would put it in a glass jar, because this is how I'd like to make my salad dressings. It's really very easy this way. So take a, you know, clean glass jar that has a lid, chop up some shallot, put it in the bottom of that. Then I add my acid, and I'll typically use some citrus like lemon juice, or any type of vinegar, like a, you know, an apple cider vinegar or just a white wine vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
I pour that vinegar over the shallot, and I do that first because that's going to tame the shallot a little bit. The vinegar is just going to very, very slightly cook, if you will, the shallot and sort of take away
soften
the sharpest bite. Yeah, soften a little bit.
Okay.
So, and then you, the typical ratio, I think what a lot of people use is like a 3-to-1 ratio of oil to vinegar, oil to acid. So, you know, if you put in, it depends on how much salad dressing you're making, but if you put in, let's say, 2 tablespoons of vinegar, then you're going to put in 6 tablespoons of oil.
Okay.
I don't think that that's always going to be the case, because sometimes, you know, it depends on the acid you're using, and you just have to taste it and be sure. But once you kind of get a mix, you can just put the screw the lid on the jar and just shake it, and that's how you get the dressing to emulsify.
You're putting a little salt and pepper in there, maybe a little garlic, something like that also?
Yes. Garlic, you could put any herbs in there. You could put any dry spices in there. I like to put a sweetener in there usually, so I'll put like a touch of honey in there.
Okay.
Or maybe, you know, but that's, and to your point, like when you're making salad dressing as opposed to buying it, you're controlling not just the flavor, but you're controlling like everything you put into it. You're controlling the amount of salt. You're controlling whether or not there's sweetener in there. So you really, you know, the more control you have, the more ownership you're taking over your health. So
yeah, very,
it's super easy to make salad dressing.
You've made detox very appealing here today, David. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Dean. I appreciate it, too.
It's David Tamarkin, who's one of the editors at one of my favorite sites. I get recipes from you like 4 times a day, I think. It's one of the ones that
you're keeping us alive. I appreciate that.
Oh, I love it. Some of the recipe suggestions that you guys send out throughout the day are great. Epicurious.com. David, Happy New Year, and I hope we can talk to you soon. Thank you so much.